It's good to see you. What are you doing in Michigan?
Well, meeting with people.
And yeah? Now, you don't have a an open forum while you're in town, do you?
Not today.
Not today. Just bebopping around.
Well, I've got a whole series of scheduled meetings. People backed up on wanting personal meetings, so I'm taking care of all that today.
You've been busy lately on 60 Minutes.
I know.
Huh?
What would you think? Huh?
That media stuff's old hat for you. I see you in the media quite a bit. Well, let's dive into some topics.
Sure.
Number one, let's talk about the aftermath of the killing of Osama bin Laden. You've had some time to chew on this. Tell me what you think.
Well, I mean, obviously, it was a serious blow to Al Qaeda. He was an operational, and one of the things we know from information coming out of his lair, if you will, was that he was operational, meaning he was offering suggestions and guidance and management of Al Qaeda, even though he was more isolated than he had been in years past. So it took somebody who was inspirational, meaning he could get people fired up to do bad things, as well as operational, and he took them off the battlefield. So we're finding now that there's the organization is struggling to try to find a replacement. There's lots of people who want to take his place. That's the good, well, bad news in that sense, but good news in the sense that they're arguing amongst themselves, and when they do that, they're going to make a mistake, and hopefully we'll have another Special Forces team knocking on their door soon when they do that.
Should we be releasing all the information we are about the attack and about the information that was gathered in the attack? Because we hear from some military and intelligence folks that we're giving the enemy too much information about what we have, and we could really be using the surprise attack mode, if you will, with this information.
I argued up front to the administration they shouldn't have released that we took information out of the lair. My understanding was there was some arrangement for that to happen, and it didn't last very long. A matter of fact, there's people talking about the Special Forces teams in ways that is inappropriate, that they shouldn't be talking about. Operational details should not have been discussed. You won't find me doing that. There is way too much information. Now, people are proud of the teams. They're proud of all of the things that happened, and I think they want to hear about it and talk about it. The problem is it's not good for the long term. I mean, they're going to have to get out and do these things again. And in Iraq and Afghanistan, they were doing two and three of these types of raids every single night. So the more we tell people about, and I'm not talking about Americans, the more the bad guys find out about how and what and when, the harder it is for them to be successful. And they're still going to have to kick into a door where somebody is armed and dangerous, and that I don't like that part of it.
How do you respond to people that say, hey, we have the right to know this as American citizens, we have the right to know what our tax dollars are being used for, and especially the topic of that photo, which I've heard is grotesque. Have you seen the pictures and video from this operation?
I have.
Tell me what your thoughts were without being too graphic.
Well, it's as a former FBI agent, I have seen gunshot wounds before. This is a picture typical of a gunshot wound to the head. It's gruesome. I don't see any value in releasing it. Matter of fact, I argue it would put some of our soldiers overseas at risk, and it's not worth one soldier's life for people to see the picture. So it's a gruesome photograph, but it's clearly, with facial recognition software and other things, they've been able to determine. And you can still see it's Osama bin Laden.
In your mind, he's dead, but how do we know?
Well, Al-Qaeda has announced that he's dead. That's a pretty good indicator. His family has said that he's dead. His wife, his children have said he's dead. The DNA test came back 99.7% that it's Osama bin Laden. I mean, there's the amount of evidence is overwhelming, and I argue he's dead, and let's move on. Let's get after, this is a good chance for us to go after Zawahiri, the number two, who's been planning operations as well. Mullah Omar, who's operating, sending combatants toward our soldiers and the Taliban. All of those things, in my mind, are what we should be focused on, and we should want our soldiers to be successful in those cases.
It's funny, when this occurred, I knew it took 10 years, but I thought back to Vietnam, how we didn't go in there and finish the job. We had the resources, we had the firepower, but the way I look at history, we didn't finish the job. It took 10 years with this. We finished the job, and it it made me think, and I heard others say the same, yeah, you know, we can do this. We have the resolve. We have the technology. Let's get busy. And this shows that we are a superpower, that we can handle these types of situations.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a boost for everyone. And the good news is this isn't the first time it happened. They've been doing this, but they've been doing it in the shadows, not nearly as high profile. An operation like this. And what else it tells you is, and the military gets a lot of the credit for this, but the military really played a very small role at the end, a dangerous one, a pretty spectacular one, but it was really the smallest role at the end of the execution of all of this intelligence that they gathered and put the pieces together, which was very, very difficult to
do. There are those who say, okay, we got the job done. There are others who say, we had to use waterboarding. We had to use these things which separate us from being the type of people who are humane. How do you find balance there, and how do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, right after 9/11, 70%, is from a senior intelligence official said about 70% of what we know about how Al-Qaeda operates came out of Guantanamo Bay. And a lot is made out of Guantanamo Bay. But I will tell you, the waterboarding that you talk about was stopped in 2004. There was only, I'm not sure if the exact number is classified, but you could count them on one hand how many people were even utilized in water. So this notion that everybody that was being detained was going through this process just wasn't true. And the only ones that were approved by Department of Justice, and they were individuals that were the most hardened Al-Qaeda ideologues you could meet, who were absolutely willing to slit the throat of men, women, and children for their cause. And so this notion that this was a horrible base thing for years and years, simply wasn't true. I think there's a lot of misinformation.
Can you get the information you need by just sitting a guy down, handing him a cup of coffee and asking him questions?
Well, no, not in all cases. I could tell you, as a the FBI uses a thing called rapport building, and that's what I used. And I would argue you want FBI agents following lawful interrogation techniques. In these particular cases, they were called enhanced techniques. And some of these enhanced techniques that were taken off the table were sleep deprivation. Were touching them at all in any way, which I find interesting that you can't even grab the shirt collar. I mean, just real small, simple things that people absolutely blew out of proportion. Now, here's the thing. We stop waterboarding. Great, good. And that's done. That debate is over. As we move forward, we need to understand that we absolutely have to talk to these people. And my only difference with the president is that he says he was going to build a secure facility in the United States to house them because Guantanamo Bay had such a bad name. We spent millions and millions and millions of dollars building a secure facility that's good for both the guards in, keeping people in and keeping people out.
We're talking with Congressman Mike Rogers, who is the chair in the House Select Intelligence Committee. Before we move on to more domestic issues, front page of the Detroit Free Press is a story: U.S. quietly terminates counterterrorism program, the NSEERS program. Talk about that.
Well, it is not something they talk to a lot of people about, but what it was is a program when you got a visa to be able to track people that were at least had some degree of suspicion about their activities in the United States. And you have to remember that many of the 9/11 hijackers and those that are involved in activities came with a whole series of different types of visas, one including a student visa. So it gave the national security folks an opportunity to at least give another look at certain people. And all it was when you came into the country, this was not for United States citizens. It's very important people understand that. This was for foreign nationals who were visiting the United States. And I argued it's probably a good idea that people know who foreign nationals are who visit the United States. So I hope we're going to go back and talk to the administration. They didn't really talk to a lot of people before they had done it. My fear is that everything comes to an end now that we've caught Osama bin Laden. We think we're fine. That concerns me a lot.